Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Betty Boo still doing the do, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Puto madre.
Everybody, welcome to the Football Ramble. Can you remember the name of Betty Boo's album?
Doing the do.
No, not sure no. I even knew
it.
Boo-mania.
Boo-mania.
Okay. Yeah.
Have a word.
Yeah. I wouldn't have got that in a thousand lifetimes,
really?
Sadly.
Get the impression someone at the record company said to someone, yeah, come up with an album, something like Boo-mania, but not that. And they sat there for 10 minutes, Boo-mania.
That's what he wanted. She did a song with Alex Jones from Blur, didn't
really?
She?
Did she really?
I think she did, yes.
My goodness.
Wasn't very good, if I remember rightly.
Okay. Well, let's move as quickly as possible to the Premier League, because that was enough Betty Boo chat for a whole lifetime.
She also did a song
for a
video game created by the celebrated Bitmap Brothers.
Why do you know all this? Is this late night Googling? Is this where you can't sleep?
I'm setting up my own Squarespace about Betty Boo.
There it is.
He's like an old uncle at Christmas. Just sits in the chair in the corner. Don't listen to anything anyone says. Just carries on. I'm talking about this. I've started, so I'm finishing.
Yeah, you already said I'm dressed like an old racist uncle, so that's good. It's a good look for me.
That's because you are. And we're filming it, so people can see it with their own eyes very soon. But I was going to say, when you said let's move on to the Premier League, what a weekend of Premier League fixtures.
Correctly. Absolutely. See, Peter, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Liverpool, doing the do it.
Yeah, there we are. Liverpool versus Swansea.
Yeah.
We're going to go straight there. The Reds edged out Plymouth from the FA Cup.
I watched the game. I enjoyed it.
A gallant effort.
Plymouth were desperately unlucky in the final stages to hit the post. That would have been a beauty. But Liverpool look strangely disjointed at the moment. I say strangely. It's largely because, in my opinion, they've had key players missing at key times. They find it hard to get their players together at the same time. I mean, if you look at the moment now, they've got Mane away at the African Cup of Nations, who's a really important player in terms of his dynamism up front, makes a lot of space for players like Lallana. They've got Coutinho just coming back to full fitness. I mean, Coutinho essentially used that game against Plymouth as like a training exercise.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything. So, right, I'll do 60 minutes. I don't really want the ball.
Yeah.
I'll just run around, make sure I'm not fully injured.
Just doing shuttle runs, not even pretending.
Yeah. I'll try to stay onside.
Yeah, quite, yeah. Mm. And they obviously had Henderson missing. They've got this ridiculous situation with Joel Matip, which they need to sort out.
Oh, my goodness.
Because he's probably their best defender. Ings is injured. Klein's been out injured. Sturridge isn't firing. So, actually, when you take into like all that stuff, they're not doing too bad.
Well, Pat Nevin said that they're punching above their weight at the moment.
For the current moment, they're
but
in.
But he said that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's always a compliment.
Well, it would have been better if Origi had scored that blooming penalty.
Oh, my God.
He's missed five penalties in the last five attempts.
Is that
you've
right?
Been serious? So, 5-5, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why he's on penalties.
There
is a dolphin named after him in a Belgian zoo. Get him on. He's probably licensed legally under FIFA because he's got the same name.
Can you imagine, Pete, just to pull you up on this, if you don't mind. I mean, I know dolphins do need to breathe air, but technically...
Whoa, steady. Steady on with your science talk, big man.
It's going to be some effort for it to take a penalty, isn't it?
Well, if you give him
like a water tank.
Yeah. Of all the sea life that could have a good go, I think...
The mantis shrimp.
Destroy the ball.
It would be more of a punch, wouldn't it?
It would. Yeah. Sure, it'd be handball.
Have a head shark.
It'd be great for crosses on the continent.
What's... claw ball.
Yeah, the thing is, though, I mean, technically claws aren't in the rules of the game, aren't they?
No,
yeah. So it probably would be okay.
Mm. I don't think, having said that, though, Jim, I don't think you can turn your hand into a claw and get away with a handball. But right. No, it was a claw! It was a claw!
There's a difference between making the shape of a claw and having a claw, though, which
is what
true. I mean.
That is true. But
he would certainly have a clause in his contract.
Yeah, okay.
Fine.
If
okay.
you lost your hand, right, if you lost your hand and the ball went into the space that your hand used to be, would that be a handball?
No.
No.
Right. Okay, just sorting things out in my head.
The key part of that was lost your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't handball.
No, but if it hit your arms, yeah. It's not an handball, is it?
Oh, yeah, that is a point.
No, all right, your arm then.
Arm is handball.
It is a handball.
Obviously.
Right.
Okay. Yeah,
only if it hits your arm.
Okay.
Essentially, what you've said is.
Marcus, you're anchoring this show. You're happy with handballs now, are you?
No, no. I said that that's a handball, and if it hits your arm, obviously, all the way up to your shoulder. Yeah. But what Pete essentially said was if the ball travels just past your arm, is it a handball?
Yeah.
If you. Well, all right, so.
If you put legs on your arms.
I'm just saying that to anyone else, that's where your hand would be. But if you didn't have a hand...
But, yeah, so what if you did lose your hand, but you had a foot sewn onto it?
I don't know, really.
But
good,
what,
good point.
I'm going to have to drag
I think
it back.
FIFA needs to deal with that before they deal with the Matip problem.
That's
yeah,
true.
I think because they seem to be dragging the heels on that quite a lot.
To be fair, mate, I think both of those things are way down the list of their problems at the moment.
do we think Jurgen Klopp's getting a bit feistier?
I mean, he's lost most of his players, Marcus. I'd be pretty feisty, to be quite frank.
Yeah, but he's just... I mean, we know he can be outspoken. Well, he is outspoken, but he was a little bit...
It's one of those things, you mentioned it. I hadn't noticed it when you mentioned it. I thought there might be a kernel of truth in that.
Do you think...
I think he's quite frustrated at the moment. But, I mean, playing Swansea at home is going to be... It's a blessing and a curse because it's exactly the sort of game you want to get back on the horse. I mean, the thing about Liverpool is the hallmark of their play this season has been they're scoring a lot of goals, but they haven't been doing that recently. I think they've only scored more than twice a couple of times in the last eight or nine games or something. They struggled against Plymouth twice. They struggled against Southampton in the Cup. They drew against Sunderland, of course, which we all saw. So he needs a game like this to get back on the horse, but at the same time, it brings its own pressure because Swansea are bottom of the league and not doing very well. They know they need to start early and start fast and try and get a positive result here because they need to get firing again. That's what this game represents for Liverpool, I think.
I think by half-time, they'll be selling battered Swan at Anfield.
You really?
This is the game they need, as you say, to sort of get back on that horse. And I think with Coutinho back as well, it's a good time to sort of... With respect to Swansea, sort of, I guess, ease him back into the team because, I mean, yeah, they have had a run of results that they'll be disappointed by, but, you know, they're still unbeaten at Anfield.
Yeah, they are.
And
that
being a home fixture is massive.
Swansea have never won at Anfield either in the Premier League. But I haven't said that. I do quite like a couple of things that Paul Clement's done since he's been at Swansea. And one is that, I know they were beaten heavily by Arsenal, but for the first half, they weren't that bad.
They were quite unlucky with a couple
the penalty
of deflected
as well.
Goals there as well.
The penalty, that 1-0, which probably wasn't a penalty, but it could have gone either way. They weren't terrible in the first half. He seems to have set them up slightly differently. I like the fact that he's bought Tom Carroll. He can look after the ball, and he might give him a bit of extra protection. I think Tom Carroll's probably a little bit tougher than he looks as well. Mm-hmm. I like that they've signed Narsing from PSV.
That's right, yeah.
He can...
I don't like that.
Oh, right, okay.
Because being
we're
as a generation
after
we're from... No, I hate the idea of someone going from PSV Eindhoven to like the bottom team in the Premier League.
Yeah. Just, like, and Narsing's played in the Champions League this season quite a lot. I think he played four or five games this season in the Champions League. But he can cross the ball. And obviously he wants him in there for Llorente because Montero play on the other side, I guess, but he's injured anyway. Mm-hmm. And I like that they've signed Martin Olsen. I know Martin Olsen's been relegated a couple of times in the Premier League, but he's got a good amount of Premier League games under his belt. And I think Clement has seen that he needs just experience and a bit of toughness in that back four. Because Neil Taylor, from what I've seen this season, hasn't come on much at all. I mean, he's played in all those big defeats they've had. Those heavy, even that 5-4 win against Palace he played in that game, they conceded four. They've been beaten heavily by other teams this season. And Martin Olsen can slot in there. Against Arsenal, the younger boy played, didn't he, Stephen Kingsley? He struggled badly. He's only young, but he struggled very badly. So he needs cover there. So I'm not saying they're going to get a result at Liverpool, but I'm just saying he's doing the right things, Clement. And I hope he's given a bit of time to him, a bit more of his ideas in there.
I think he's got Olsen in for morale because if they do go down, Olsen say it's not that bad.
Yeah, I've experienced
it.
Exactly.
It's all right. Yeah. You get a move.
I can't believe Tom Carroll's 24. When did that happen, guys?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Come on.
I read today that Wayne Routledge is 32.
Is he?
Yeah.
I suppose so. He played for Pompey. Did he play for Pompey? It must be a long time ago.
Wayne Routledge really 32. Wow. Yeah. He's in the Guardian.
But he's still got potential, though, isn't he, Jim?
Well, apparently
he's one of those players, isn't he?
Yeah, very much so.
My goodness.
Before I go on to the recommended bet for this game, the odds for this game, did you see Stephen Manaman in the commentary last night?
Oh.
It's fantastic.
It went down very well on our Twitter feed.
So we talked about McManaman being quite harsh on Plymouth in the first game, saying they didn't come out enough, didn't attack, and all this other stuff. And
did he heed our warning?
Well, no, I'll tell you what happened. It was fantastic because McManaman came onto the co-commentary at the start of the replay, and I think he knew that had been a part of the conversation. And so he started to say when he was introduced, "Oh, you know, I talked a bit about Plymouth last time. I just still think it's one of those things where you're going to make an apology, but he goes, now what? Do you know what? I'm going to stick with this.
I'm sorry that you're upset.
Yeah. He didn't even go that far. He just
did he do the Pete Donaldson? Just went straight in, hard hat on.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take him on. But he said that people have criticised it, but I thought that Liverpool had so many kids out, Plymouth could have been a bit more daring. And I think Darren Fletcher, who was commentating, just sort of, you know, brushed over it and they carried on. About half an hour in, mm-hmm. Steve McManaman, he's a wanker. Yeah. He's a wanker for the crowd. And there was an absolute, one of the best pieces of the commentary all season was just the 5 seconds of silence afterwards. Uh-huh. Fletcher, who normally you can't shut him up.
That's right.
5 seconds of nothing, him thinking,
I'll probably let that settle.
Yeah.
Barry Davis at home going, there you go!
Yeah, a little bit.
If the crowd are doing the talking, Neil.
It was really, really good by the Premier fan. I thought it was fantastic.
I thought that was a lovely one.
But if you do think Swansea are going to upset Liverpool, they're 14-1 with Bet365 to record their first ever Premier League win at Anfield. So £10 returns, £150 including stake.
There we are. It wasn't the only game, and of course, the FA Cup this week, because there were some giant killings.
Yeah.
Lincoln City.
That was great.
The commentator.
He was fantastic.
It was essentially a man just going,
Yeah, I know. apparently, I spoke to a guy who's from that neck of the woods.
Bit of delight.
And he said that guy's like that all the time. He's the BBC Radio Lincolnshire guy, I think. I mean, he's like that all the time,
yeah,
apparently.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah,
it's lovely in Lincoln.
Wear a bit thin, wouldn't it?
It would. His vocal cords must be a bit knackered.
Yeah, you think so?
You know, he's going to release a blues album.
I thought Lincoln were excellent across both games.
Ipswich were diabolical. Mick McCarthy at the end when he just shrugged his shoulders. Yeah. Was it saying, yeah? Yeah, right.
There was a great shot from Hawkridge right at the end where it was just off the half volley and the keeper parried it. It was like, oh my God, if that had gone in, that would have been it was a great finish, to be fair.
The composure for that through ball, for the run.
Great ball as well.
Well, if it was half a second too late, he would have been offside.
Fantastically weighted ball. He took an extra touch and I thought he'd blown that.
It was beautiful.
I thought Gerker was a bit soft. I thought he could have spread himself a little bit better.
He doesn't play that regularly, though, I don't think.
He was still pickling the ball out of his net,
there
though.
There you go.
I wanted to get that in. That's the only reason why I mentioned him.
That's not what spells he's worse at.
What? Gerken pickling the ball out of his net.
Speller's not above doing a full 5 minutes.
Dragging us into like a cul-de-sac. Yeah. Yeah.
Where are you going with this?
All I can say is, welcome aboard.
the guy who scored the goal for Lincoln, he scored in the playoff final for Grimsby, their local rivals, last season when they beat Forest Green 3-1 in the playoff final to go up to League 2, and he signed for Lincoln, he scored for them.
Man for the bigger case.
The reason I mention that is because that goal he scored for Grimsby was in the final minute of the game, I think, and that long-busting run, the final minute against Ipswich, that's what it's all about.
That is, Jim.
No, there's a lot of players who wouldn't even bother with that. Take it to the corner.
Yeah, we'll get extra time.
Yeah, we'll take him in extra time.
Yeah. No, we'll do him now.
But I thought the one thing that Lincoln did do for it, they did a number of things very well, but the one thing that stood out for me was they really targeted Tom Lawrence. I mean, they forced him deeper and deeper to pick up the ball. There was a lovely, look, we don't want to see a young player hurt or whatever, but there was a lovely reduce for him early on. He just didn't want to know after that.
Lovely reduce.
He didn't want to know.
You're disgusting.
I'm happy for him to be tackled hard. That's part of the game. But I don't want to be injured. I'm just saying
it's a contact sport.
We must mention Sutton United as well, putting out AFC Wimbledon.
That's 50 places, something like that.
That's a fantastic result as well. Yeah. That sort of got overlooked, understandably so, because Lincoln were on the telly box. But Sutton United as well.
They beat 3-1 for crying out loud.
That was a massive result.
That was a great one because they were 1-0 down at half time, but Wimbledon had a man sent off. Mm. And I love the idea of the non-league team and the non-league manager going, right, we fancy this.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I don't know what player got sent off, but he pulled him down, like, from his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't do that if he had no hand.
When there's a sending.
Would it still have been a foul?
Would it have been a foul? Don't know.
Do you know what I think? Are you arguing it's an advantage now?
Yeah.
You know what I think is when, as you say, when a man gets sent off, it does change. Because when you're 1-0 down, you think, and it was like that. I was lucky enough to be at Craven Cottage when Fulham beat Juventus 4-1 that time. Mm-hmm. And when Fulham equalised, and you thought,
because they went a goal down that, didn't they?
They did very early on, 2 minutes, and they equalised. And then I can't remember if they went 2-1 or it was Cannavaro who was sent off, and then it was 2-1. When Cannavaro got sent off, there was a kind of people looking at each other going, I mean, is there still a lot to do? But you kind of get
classic
that look.
Fulham.
And then it's
well, yeah, shall we take a siesta?
Finish your chapter all in time for the second half.
Shall we take a man off? It's only fair.
But yeah, wonderful stuff in the FA Cup. Oh, before we move on from Liverpool, this is slightly connected. Former Liverpool player Xabi Alonso announcing he's going to retire at the end of the season.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk under the Rodgers era, probably by Rodgers himself, I expect, that Xabi Alonso might fancy another year back at Liverpool. I mean, I don't think he wouldn't fit in with Klopp now, but it would have been a nice touch to have him around the club for a season, surely. Yeah.
Well, Gerrard came back, didn't he, for the television commentary?
He was doing the punditry last night.
Yeah. You know for a fact he had his shin pads in his bag.
Oh, cool.
You know for a fact. I mean, they were depleted.
Absolutely.
He's probably allowed to play legally again.
Just walked past the change room, dropped his bag in. I'll just leave that there.
Yeah. You don't have to ask what's in there. Presents for all of you if you win.
Yeah. Do the kids want a bit of experience on the pitch with them?
There was a great video doing the rounds of Warnock indicating that people from Liverpool don't have windows.
Yeah.
And he'll do that. Face on Gerrard. Oh, he looked like he was going to absolutely
do
him.
What did he say? Exactly?
There was a joke about windows or something, and Warnock went, I don't even think they've got windows, have they?
You both look at me for my impression, but I don't know what he said.
He said something, I don't think people in Liverpool have windows or something. Oh, right. And Gerrard just did the stink eye.
That's
more from Warnock, isn't it? Yeah. But, you know, it is Warnock.
It's Colin.
So it's Colin.
But the thing was, the problem with that was being hosted, I think, by Jake Humphrey, who was dressed like a 1960s-ish jazz musician.
Nice.
He had like a roll neck on.
Nice. Imagine
what Donaldson dresses like if he could actually pull it off. He's dressed like that.
I like Jake. I like the way he dresses. Don't like Luke.
But Pete, the point about Humphrey was he didn't pull Warnock up on that because he was so chilled out, dressed like a jazz musician.
I love that.
He was like horizontal.
That's brilliant. Yeah, probably high.
Let's go back to the second half, if you want. Yeah.
But before we go back to the second half, let's go back to the 60s. Do-ba-do-ba-doo. Yeah. Yeah, all for that. Do more of that up there, Jake, if you're listening. Yeah. Which you're definitely not.
He's not dead.
I said if he's listening.
You said up there.
Let's move on to the thigh rubber of the weekend. It's Manchester City versus Spurs. It's a saucy one. I thought Mike Dean might be in charge of this because it's a big one, because he's been relegated to the Championship.
It's big Andre Mariner, who took charge of the game the first time round.
Yeah, although people said about Mike Dean being relegated to the Championship, Barnsley versus Leeds is still a derby.
I feel it's more the Championship has been promoted to Mike Dean.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of people saying that on
I'm not sure if you noticed there, Jim, but Marcus, under the guise of talking about Man City versus Spurs, straight into Dean. I tried to make a point about Man City Spurs, straight back into Dean.
No, we'll be back.
Okay, fine.
Right after the... No, go on. What have you got to say, Luke?
I'm just going
to
say that I quite like Andre Mariner as a ref. Yeah. I know there'll be a lot of people out there and just go, yeah, but he did this against my club. I'm not interested in that. He is quite a good referee. He lets the game flow, which I think is important for this game. He doesn't get his whistle out too much. I think it's a good thing for the game.
He knows his onions, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah.
This is a big one. It's not the game that Man City would want after being on a poor run.
It's the one they deserve.
Possibly the game they need.
Yeah. But then Vertonghen, he could be out for up to a couple of months. That is a big loss.
Apparently it's 6 weeks now. It's been confirmed. It's not quite as serious as they feared. So that's a positive.
Davis or Vimmer probably in for him.
Vimmer's a decent understudy as well, who'd be keen to prove himself.
I would go with Davis. I'll tell you why, because I think that Davis plays that in that exact position regularly for Wales. Mm. And so as a result, I think he's probably more suited to it. I personally would prefer Davis.
Mm.
But the interesting sort of... I just talked about Andre Mariner refereeing this game the first time around. The interesting comparison now is in that game, Fernando and Fernandinho played in holding midfield. Of course, Spurs won the game, though, the better team. But Fernando Fernandinho, obviously the 70s R&B act, which is what they sound like, but they're a much better proposition for City than Zabaleta and Toure. Yeah. I mean, I was looking at the players they've got available and the things he can do within that week. I think he's going to have to play Toure and Zabaleta in there again.
Toure against Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, run in midfield. If he doesn't put the effort in,
there was work hard as well.
We didn't make enough of this when it happened. But when they played Everton, there's a great moment. I think it's did Tom Davis score a third goal?
Yeah,
I think
right.
He did. There's a great moment where he picks a ball up, Davis, full of energy, puts it out wide. Toure watches him the whole way.
Well, you said that.
Doesn't break into any sort of jog, even.
Actually, we didn't miss it because you very much rammed home the point
about Toure. It's worth reiterating because I think with City, and there are City fans out there who probably tell me I'm wrong, but I really like that young defender I've seen playing for them, Adebayo. He played a couple of times. He looks solid. I have no idea why they're not playing him. And if they are playing him, they could potentially, you know, give himself a little bit more solidity, because John Stones' confidence looks shot a bit. Mm-hmm. Otamendi's been their best defender this season, I've said a few times, but he's still not any great shakes. They're going to play Zabaleta and Torre in the middle against Ali and Eriksen.
Well, I mean, they'll get torn apart, you would have thought, because, and especially with targeting the keeper, targeting Stones, you know, Guardiola hasn't really found a remedy for that.
No.
He keeps trying to do the same
thing. He started to blame his players a little bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to him, maybe that if they were, there's a lot of instruction, I would imagine, from Guardiola. And as you said, I think last time, Luke, with these more thoughtful managers like Guardiola, it does take a while for them to get on board. But Bravo's played in goal for Barcelona.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know that, and but I still make that's been mentioned before on this show, and I still maintain it just the Premier League,
I agree with you,
just represents a different set of challenges. Not better or worse, it's just a different set of challenges.
Completely.
And I don't think Bravo's game is suited to it. And I also think if you read some sort of European based writers about the game, they'll tell you that, you know, right or wrong, this is not a sort of criticism of Guardiola's management necessarily, but the players he had at Barcelona and Bayern Munich, certainly at the back end, the rear guard of his team, compared to what he's got now, it's an absolute. It's night and day.
As I've said, the aging squad. You're trying to tell a 32-year-old defender how to defend. Yeah, it's like
you shouldn't be having to do that
to play a different system at that late stage in your career. It's difficult.
Sorry, go on, Jim.
I was going to say the one positive for City is that surely they're not going to get worse than getting thrashed 4-0 by Everton. There must be a point where they sort of buck their ideas up, and I don't know how they'll do it. I imagine Guardiola isn't the sort of manager to go back to basics. It's more he would just reiterate his ideas.
Took him to the cinema, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, that's not going to fix it.
Do you think Guardiola said, this is how I want you to play, and they just played the film?
Tippy-tapper.
Ya-ya land.
Talk about putting themselves together and all that, and I think there is an element of that. They need to obviously apply themselves better and all that different stuff. I mean, Aguero isn't in poor goal-scoring form, but the reality is they're playing, you know, if you look at, they're playing arguably the best team in the league.
Yeah.
And in terms of their first 11 available to them, I know Vertonghen's going to be missing, but they're still a very, very strong team. The thing about Spurs is, we said this before on this show, every player in that squad knows his job, knows what his responsibilities are. And even when they flip formation to this three at the back thing, which they've been doing more recently, which has been very effective for them, they all know what they're doing.
Man City, you can't say that. You don't get
any idea or impression they know.
Also, because of that, Spurs are absolutely fearless. And again, City look a bit scared. John Stones is a great example of it. They do not look confident. They look like they fear these collapses.
I think
it becomes self-fulfilling.
I think the point about the two previous sides he had, I mean, when he came into Barcelona, that side knew how to play beautiful football. And obviously, he did great work with Barcelona. There's no two ways about that. But they knew that. With Bayern Munich, he had a treble-winning side. He had the champions of Europe when he took over. So they were always going to be half-decent. Now, obviously, that Man City squad is good. But you look at them and you think, well, they're just... Maybe Guardiola is one of those managers who needs the best players in the world to get what he's doing. Because otherwise, at the end of the season... or maybe even in this window they might have a go, or certainly in the summer, they're going to have to throw money at the problem. They're going to have to get in some of the big names. I mean, you mentioned something going after someone like Aldevaro last time, Luke, or it could be Bonucci, who he really...
There's a lot of confusion around it. I mean, yeah. I don't think that... I don't know... I'm not suggesting they'll get Aldevaro.
But as in, they'll throw money at the problem.
My point was, they're the biggest spenders in the Premier League, and they should, you know, the best thing they can do, if it's possible, which it obviously probably isn't, is to get the best defender they can who's got Premier League experience, who can improve them as a defensive unit. I mean, it's a similar thing to... I think Aldevaro is so important to Spurs the same way that he's better, but the same way that Williams was important to Swansea.
Mm-hmm.
When they lost Ashley Williams, they lost a lot more than a good defender. I haven't been around the club, but they probably lost the biggest man on that campus. You know what I mean? He was a very, very important player for them. But look, the market doesn't in terms of the betting here, the market doesn't have Spurs as favourite. But for me, you have to have Spurs as favourite this game. I'm setting myself up for a 4-0, I know that. But Spurs are 13-5 at Bet365 to win this. £10 returns, £36 including stake. You cannot tell me Spurs shouldn't be the favourites for this
game.
We're
back in Spurs after what happened last week.
Yeah. Someone say 4-0 City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sure you put Aguero back in your fantasy league teams.
That's right.
All right, guys.
Before you move on to that, I actually want to say, I may be the person who delivers the betting message.
Yeah.
It's a group effort. I take all the flack for it.
Representing.
It is a team effort. Yaya Toure reportedly turned down the chance to go to China for big money.
Did that come through his agent, possibly, maybe?
Never found out about it. That'll be it. Because I thought to myself, that's a strange one.
Why would he be announced at that? Because his agent's annoyed about it.
Yeah. That's it.
It's 10% of that.
My goodness. Before we go to a quick ad break and then talk more about the Premier League, of course, it's not just the Premier League happening this weekend. There is a little bit of Scottish Cup. And Bonnyrigg Rovers are at home to Hibs.
Yep.
And we're all looking...
Cannot deny.
Is that it? You just want to talk about Sean Connery, so get it out of the way and we'll...
Oh, what do you mean, get it out of the way?
Do you want to talk about Sean Connery? Why do you talk about Sean Connery?
This is the best little bit of the running order, and you want to just dismiss it
like
that?
I can see your running order from here, and it says Betty Boo, Sean Connery, emails.
Yeah. Marcus, do your Sean Connery impression. Both of the listeners have heard that.
I'm not doing that.
Do it!
Junior.
Junior!
The Rosie Posey players, they were posing in Sean Connery masks with the Scottish Cup ahead of the match this weekend, because Sean Connery, of course, used to be on Bonnyrigg Rovers' books.
There's also a team in Bonnyrigg Rovers.
He would slap the ball in the net.
He's referring to his...
No, I'm not. Carry on, Luke, quickly.
Bonnyrigg Rovers division, there's another team in there called Hill of Beath Hawthorne.
Wow.
Which is a lovely name. Mm-hmm. They're based in Cowdenbeath, of course.
The Blue Brazil.
Indeed. This got me thinking. When we were up in Newcastle doing a live show, we met a couple of guys who played for a team that are in South Shields' division.
Yeah,
and I got that confused a couple of weeks ago. I think I said they were South Shields players, but they weren't. No, they played in the South Division. I would be very interested to know, and we need proof, the highest level one of our listeners has played at.
Yeah.
Or is currently playing at. If we've got any current footballers who are playing in a decent level that listen to the show regularly, I'd love to know.
Who would like to admit it?
And if they want to be an official team of the Football Ramble.
If they play for Bonnyrigg Rovers, all the better.
Yeah.
I'm less doubtful.
I was playing football out.
It's not you, Pete. It's not you.
Damn it. Oh, you should have seen the goal I scored.
It's no one in this room.
You should have, because no one else did.
Pete, you sent me a message. Actually, you sent all of us a message over the weekend. Mm. It was a photo message of your team playing, and you're on the sideline, and the message said, I'm so good, the manager saves me for dessert.
10 minutes from the end,
lovely.
Yeah. I didn't want to come on. The team have got so good since I've left.
I didn't want to play anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't want to.
Spitting my toys out the pram.
Yeah.
Interested, isn't it? Interested, yeah.
Indeed, yeah. You could be dessert. You're certainly not a starter. No. talk more Premier League after this.
Louis van Gaal, you got management master, the king amongst men. You big bald bastard.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, everybody.
Here's just work, Pete.
Yeah. Here's just work.
Do Sean Connery again.
No.
Look, I've got my claws. Even though I'm thinking about it, look, you are wearing grey on grey on grey. You look like a 70s Blue Peter presenter in black and white.
Easy.
Yeah.
Now, let's leave that there.
I've got nothing to add.
Arsenal are playing Burnley.
Mm. Junior.
Junior. the Clarets beat Sunderland in the Cup. They're going to play Bristol City in the next round, Jim.
Yeah.
You happy about that?
I'm delighted about that. It's made my weekend.
The Vokes and Grey with the goals. Does that send the chills up your Arsenal spine?
It's a chilly place at the best of times, to be honest. Genuinely, there is a danger of underestimating Burnley away, because, as we've discussed before...
Because they're terrible.
They don't travel so well, but they're very, very dangerous at home. But we know about Burnley is that they dig in, and we know that when teams dig in and they try to frustrate Arsenal at the Emirates, they can do it.
Yeah. So it's going to be exactly there.
Can I chuck something a little bit out of the blue here? I quite fancy. Mm-hmm. I noticed on Bet365 that Burnley are 80-1 to win the FA Cup this season.
Right,
and for me, I think
that's not bad.
Their league form is decent.
I'll tell you why. Yeah. They're playing Bristol City next up at home in the next round. They'll win that. Bristol City are in woeful form. Burnley are the third best team in the Premier League at home.
Right.
Only Spurs and Chelsea have won more games than them at home. All they've got to do really is get a couple of home draws.
Yeah.
And I think, by and large, there's still some big teams left in the FA Cup, and that's why they're a big prize. But they get a home draw, they're in good nick,
and then offer to host the semi-finals.
Yeah, have it at our place. Yeah. All they've got to do is call Wembley Turf Moor for the day.
Yeah, that's right.
They're in the final.
Have you seen? It's going to be Sutton Leeds in the next round, and Sutton play on 3G. I reckon that's a pretty good bet for a win there for the home team. I didn't even know that was allowed.
But see for me so. Though, if I was the chairman of Sutton United, I'd play myself, and then I would say, but I would say to Leeds, let's have it at your place, because it'd be much better.
Where's your quest for glory?
Yeah,
no, but you'd be a player at Elland Road.
Yeah, but you'd lose.
You're looking
at still Sutton. I mean, they're still a club.
Yeah, but
Lincoln and Sutton is an interesting situation because Sutton, as Pete rightly said, are playing Leeds, and Lincoln are playing Brighton. Both non-league teams are at home. Both those teams, Leeds and Brighton, have had terrible time trying to get back into the Premier League. Mm. That game comes at a pretty difficult time. It comes at the end of January. I think Brighton have had to reschedule their game against Newcastle because of it.
Yeah, it's on a Tuesday night.
I think there's a slight... Of course, they're probably going to be on TV. They won't want to get beaten by non-league opposition, but I think there's a chance that at least one of those teams, if not both, are going to play quite a weekend side. I don't think we've seen the end of the Sutton and Lincoln story yet.
But I think in that case, the players are just delighted to be involved at all, aren't they? You know, if it's a good thing if they're at home, it's a good thing.
I didn't know they played on 3G. I didn't know that. Mm. So that's definitely a lovely little angle. I didn't even know you could still do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can in the league anymore, can you? Maybe you can, I'm not sure. I'm making it up.
Well,
you can in that league, presumably.
I'm sure wherever they play, especially if it's on 3G, they'll get a good reception.
But going back to Burnley and Arsenal, Burnley...
Sorry, we'll get emails. Sorry, Luke, to derail what you were saying, but we will get emails
what
about that.
Say?
It's a 3G reception. Yeah, good, right. We've acknowledged it, so don't email in. Go on, you missed this.
Yeah, we tweet me, brothers and sisters.
We get a lot of tweets about that.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say is what I say in person when people tweet me. You don't know how tedious it is. Having to be there.
Yeah, yeah. For you, this is just a good time, but for me, this is what I call life.
I can't believe Marcus didn't get more for that. I can.
Yeah. We get it 24/7.
Sometimes it's a conscious decision.
Sorry, Luke.
I wanted to make quite a boring point, which just backed up what you guys were saying earlier. That it's so funny with the Burnley-Sunderland thing in the Cup. They play away at Sunderland. I think they had 25% possession against Sunderland.
really?
drew the game. Went back to Burnley. 2-0. Easy.
Yeah, there you are.
Not a problem.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, not weird. Brilliant.
So as a result, they're not going to beat Arsenal. Arsenal and in the half time and full time with Bet365 is 8-13. So they have to be winning at half time and when the game finishes. £10 returns are £16.15 with Bet365.
There's a bit of chat about China coming out of the Arsenal ranks. But Big Veng says he's worried about China, and Olivier Giroud said he wasn't interested in a move to China until he wins the league with Arsenal. Obvious jokes there.
It's what's happening here, not just in Arsenal's case, but in this particular example. These players are coming out and saying, I don't want to go to China. Wink.
Yeah. Is there something maybe in Chinese...
Ni hao ma.
In Chinese culture, they play like opposites all the time.
Oh, there's Olivier Giroud coming out going, my Mandarin is...
Holiday Mandarin.
I'd never fit in.
What Wenger was talking about, and I think it possibly relates to Alexis Sanchez, and obviously we've seen it with Diego Costa and other players as well, is he's saying that it's making players demand unrealistic wages because they're not comparing their own value to that of players within the Premier League. They're now comparing it to China, which is, as we were saying on the last show, is fascinating that this has so quickly happened, given that the Premier League was,
it's also
flashing itself around as the big dog.
The Premier League has done this to Europe for a number of years now.
I would call that a bit rich.
Yeah. Quite.
You're only allowed three in a team. Is that the starting 11 or just the whole squad?
That three foreigners in a team. It's still 11 or something.
I think they've started to think, actually, we can actually get these players.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Change that rule.
They changed it, within the past month or so. No, FA-style dithering around. Yeah, we'll change that in 4 years. Just done. Bang.
It used to be the absolute bane of my existence playing Championship Manager around the turn of the century in Serie A. You only used to get two.
Terrible
times.
I was wrong about China when I said that they're targeting the 2050 World Cup. I think they want to win the World Cup by 2050.
Okay, right.
So that makes a bit
like
more
when Pele said that an African side will win the World Cup by 2000.
Did he say that?
He said by the end of the century. It was in the 90s. He said that, I think.
Good old Pele.
He said a lot of things, didn't he?
Yeah. Yes.
He certainly has.
Most of which have been reported on this show pretty regularly.
Joey Barton says a lot of things. Recently, he said that Arsenal once showed, in his own words, a low level interest in him in 2000.
They mispronounced Barton
a lot. Yeah, he was a decent. Well, he still is not bad, but he certainly was a few years ago.
Would that not have been a fairly alright move, bearing in mind they don't really have personalities like him, that kind of rabble-rousing.
I think that's too far.
Well, Barton's story is that he'd heard about this interest from his agent, and then it was when he was at Newcastle, and Newcastle played Arsenal, and he got sent off for some altercation with Jovinho, and then Arsenal just never got in touch.
Right. So,
he wrote about it in his book, and I don't think the PR Wallers picked up on it until Barton came back to the Premier League, and then they were desperately trying to find links to Arsenal.
No, because it's been reported as if he's just said all this stuff, hasn't it? It hasn't at all.
Yeah,
he played quite well in that 4-4 all draw, if I remember.
Jeez.
He sort of There's pulls us up by our bootstraps.
Who didn't in the second half?
It's unlikely you to link that back to that 4-4 draw, Pete.
I think they made a DVD of it. I think they actually did, yeah.
How many copies you got?
I'm torrenting it as we speak.
A little bit of an injury update on Santi Cazorla. Apparently, he won't be back ever because he was a collective delusion and never existed.
Yeah, right.
So. Is he out of contract in the summer?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I remember it being someone said that he might have played his last game. I'll assume that's because he's out of contract, but I'm not. Because the other thing that's happened, typical Arsenal, is that I know I've been hammering Arsenal recently, but this particularly struck
recently.
Me. Yeah, this struck me because when Mertesacker got injured, they said, "Oh yeah, he'll be back sort of November." Then they said December, and now he's listed as officially as being back at the end of January. But he's just signed a contract extension, hasn't he? So they must be confident he's coming back soon.
Yeah,
but he might not get back in the team.
No, well, he probably won't. I think it's good to keep Mertesacker on for another year because apparently he's a very big character around the dressing room. It's kind of as you were saying with Ashley Williams, and he collects the fines and stuff. Yeah. He's like a sort of proper kind of club man.
Bit of a leader in there.
Yeah,
okay.
And he sort of helps people integrate. So even if he doesn't play that much, you know, it's a long season, isn't it? You're going to need a player like that at some point. So I think it's a smart move.
But their record with Mustafi in the team is very good. And obviously, Koscielny's one of the better defenders in the Premier League. So he might not get back in straight away. Anyway, but mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean, I don't see Arsenal have any trouble against Burnley, but yeah, at the risk of embarrassing myself again, what is this show? It's not me just continually embarrassing myself.
For all of us.
Yeah. Are we ready to talk about Palace versus Everton?
Right, yeah. I'm always ready for a bit of Big Sam.
Indeed, you are. Well, yeah. I mean, he needs something. Big Sam says the fear of failure is what spurs him on.
Must be terrified at the moment.
I was going to say, he must be very spurred on.
Just hiding from everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, five games, I think, in charge so far without a win.
They haven't had that new manager bounce, have they?
And he
normally is very good at that.
We really thought that Allardyce would have an immediate impact. He hasn't. I mean, okay, it's only five games.
They went down midweek, didn't they, in the FA Cup and then came back.
Yes.
They beat Bolton in the FA Cup.
Yeah. Clarke scored the winner, didn't he?
Oh, you're talking about Palace?
No, Benteke.
Oh, sorry. Not Benteke. Yeah. I always get those two mixed up every single week. Lukaku, Benteke.
Big Belgian forwards, mate.
Big Belgian forwards with three syllables in their name.
Indeed.
hang on. Yeah.
Palace trying to sign Carl Jenkinson. I think, have they got that over the line?
No, apparently, again, this is another one.
Isn't it personal terms or something?
Yeah, they're offering him 40 grand a week, which is what he's on at Arsenal, and he wants more than that.
Right.
So, I don't think you're going to get a move to China, Carl.
Just take that.
You never know.
I mean, once these Chinese clubs have filled their squads with their three, surely they can just go, right, it'll be full. China is full, guys. not allowed in.
With the Palace thing, I think they're in real trouble. I mean, it sounds obvious to say they're only out of their relegation zone goal.
They've just bought Jeffrey Schlupp.
They're not, but yeah, well, I don't even know that's the sort of player they need. If you look at the players that have played, from what I've seen, that have played well for Palace this season, it's players, in my mind, Zaha, Puncheon, Benteke occasionally.
Well, Zaha's at the African combinations at the moment.
Yeah, right. But with the exception of Scott Dan, I can't think of a single defensive player who's played that well for Palace. I'll tell you something now, I don't rate their goalkeeper. I know he's Hennessy, I know he's a second choice. Mandanda, until he got his knee problem, he was capable of a shocker. He's not settled brilliantly in the Premier League. So they're in real trouble.
I mean, what's happened to Yohan Cabaye after all this time?
He's not having a terrible season.
Yeah, but he's not really inspiring them. He's been linked with Marseille and so on, but when he first joined Palace, you know, it was probably the signing, could argue, of the summer in relative terms.
It feels like a long time ago now.
It feels a hell of a long time. Well, obviously it wasn't last summer, it was whenever it was now. And he's a great player, as we know, Cabaye. Pete still misses him dearly from Newcastle, as he should do.
I miss his corners.
And his face.
We didn't score from any, but I miss his corners.
But he's just... You look at a player like that and you think he should be able to inspire them a bit more. I don't want to be too harsh on him. But
their problem, Marcus, that's fine. But the problem is, you say that, they're not having trouble scoring goals. He's doing probably what he should be doing. But the problem is they cannot stop conceding. I think they've got one clean sheet in 21 games. Their record against the top 12... I forget the stat now. I know Pete hates stats anyway. But their record against the top 12 teams is appalling. Really, really bad. Mm. And this is an opportunity for them. And I'll tell you why. Because Everton's away record isn't very good. I think it's the worst in the top half apart from Burnley. Which the biggest surprising thing about that was that Burnley were 10th. so there is an opportunity there for Palace. But they need to start winning games. And I'll also tell you why. Because their last seven games, I think they've played... Four of those games, I think, are Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United and Man City. Oof. They've got quite a winnable February, but they absolutely need to start winning games now, especially when you think that Hull look like they might be about to do something under Marco Silva. Mm. I know Allardyce is this sort of great guy, sort of wrestling teams out of trouble and making them tough to beat and all that stuff, and it goes all the way back to his Bolton days, but then it's not working at the moment.
But if he doesn't have the players who can defend on a basic level, then it doesn't matter
I'm not sure, apart from the goalkeeper thing. I mean, they could put Spironi back in there. He's still at the club. He's been there for a long time.
He has, yeah.
But they've got players like Joel Ward, who's played okay in the Premier League in the past. Scott Dan's a decent player. I know Damien Delaney's quite old now. But
that's the surprise about Big Sam. You thought to yourself, Allardyce, which why I thought he might do okay at England, if you have some players who, like you've just mentioned there, you know can play a bit, come in and he's that big personality who can G people up and kind of get them away from whatever it is, fear or a bit of negativity or anything, G them up a bit.
Like you did with England.
I thought he could have done something with England, actually. I thought it was a bit of a shame.
He did do something with England.
And he's 100%.
Not what he should be doing.
100%.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a meeting and potatoes
those
manager.
3 points against Slovakia will come in handy at the end of the campaign.
We'll probably get a new medal minute for him when we win the World Cup.
Another star on the back.
Yeah, but Palace are, in light of what we've all just said, Palace are 9-4 to be relegated with Bet365. So £10 return you £32.50. I think this is a huge pivotal game for them. It really is. I think they've lost Sarko as well, obviously, to the Cup of Nations.
But I think with Palace, if they can at least put in a good performance, because if you look at Everton, especially off the back of that Man City result,
it might be a bit of a Lord Mayor show about that.
Could be.
I don't know though, because they look confident. Don't
they do. But if their tails are up, Everton, you know, and Everton come roaring into that and beat Palace 2-1 or something like that, I think if Palace get a good performance. Obviously, they want the result, but get a decent performance in there so they can build on that.
And also, I've been to Sellers Park a number of times, like in the double figures, and it generally is
good
a really good atmosphere. And it's it can be an intimidating place for away teams. It's quite closed in, and
they could
use that. The cheerleaders,
the goal music, the cheerleaders.
It's all going on.
Are they still there now? Pardew's gone.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I also don't know what you're trying to imply. I'd like to distance myself from it.
I would like the bet of the week, so come back.
Well, the bet of the week this week is a little bit different. There's a chap called Liam Robertson.
Yes.
He's a fan of the show. He says he's a fan of the show. He says he's a keen listener.
He was the doctor who... he certainly works for the NHS, isn't he? Who proved my blood...
He's all right by me, because he stitched Pete up in public. Always a positive.
Which was covered with a scab.
Yeah.
That stitch.
Always an A positive.
is he the official... Yeah, very good.
Yeah. You missed my meeting and potatoes Big Sam joke. So,
sorry,
you know,
okay.
It's just...
You probably get emails about that.
Is he the official doctor of the Ramble?
He's not a doctor, so no.
Okay, sorry.
He's just able to use the internet.
Yeah, to be fair, I think that's more appropriate, isn't it?
he's an internet doctor, and I believe in the current that's actually better than the real thing. So you're perfectly safe with his hands. Liam Robertson, he's at L Robertson 1982 on Twitter. He's been piping up quite a lot recently with his bets of the week and his alternative bets of the week, which seem to be doing well. So I did a little deal with him. I said, give us yours this week and we'll use it as our official bet of the week.
And we'll give you one of ours.
And he agreed. So basically what we're doing this week is our bet of the week with Bet365, courtesy of Liam Robertson, is Spurs to beat Man City with Kane to score first at a big 10-1. So £50 on that will return us £550, including our stake. With all proceeds, of course, going to Prostate Cancer UK and all that kind of thing. You have to be over the age of 18 to bet and do gamble responsibly. For more information, go to gamblerware.co.uk. But we'll be watching that game with interest.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Liam will be too, so we'll see how it turns out.
I think that's a decent bet.
I said to you earlier, I like Spurs in this game, I do. Oh, and one thing we did forget to say, I got a little transfer window roundup here, and Gabriel Jesus, is that Jesus?
Because he's from Brazil.
Yeah.
He's not Irish.
Gabriel Jesus. Yeah. He's signed for Man City. I think he might be available for selection. Might be available for selection, so that's interesting. And yeah, that's what I mentioned. Oh, and I also quite like West Brom going in for Jake Livermore.
I
think that's a good signing.
Haven't Palace gone in for Livermore? And also Odinogalo, did I see that?
Yeah, I saw
their
that.
Their transfer policy seems all over the place. Seems to want to get rid of Townsend as well. He might be on his way to Newcastle.
That seems strange because he's been a bit of an outlier performance wise, I think.
I thought
he's been all right.
The reason I think Livermore's a good, if West Brom do get him, is because they've got Fletcher and Jakob in those positions. And I think Livermore's probably a bit better than Jakob. He's also younger.
Yeah, Jakob's all right though.
No, I don't dislike him. I'm just saying he's obviously a view to the future. He's a lot younger than both those players.
He is.
So I think it's a nice move for them.
Burnley are also apparently in for Robert Snodgrass. It's like the teams that are fighting relegation are trying to weaken each other in the way that the teams are fighting for the title.
I'd be highly surprised. I mean, obviously player power aside,
Snodgrass did sign a new contract though.
But that was automatically done, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
That was like there was some sort of agent problem. My point was going to be Marcus. Yes. The way Silva got success in the game they won more recently against Bournemouth is he pushed Snodgrass right up behind Hernandez, and he was able to pick up all these balls down and get a lot of space. And I think if Silva's going to play like that with Hull for the rest of the season, he's a really important player for them. He'd be fighting tooth and nail to keep him.
I think Man City should go after him.
Yeah?
Why not, eh?
Because I need some player. He's like a mercurial forward player. Don't
yeah. Get the ball up there. Yeah. Right, let's look forward to the weekend ahead.
Yeah, we're going to look forward to the weekend with our listeners.
Yay!
James Falconer, hi to you, James. He says, looking forward to the further proof that sacking Gary Rowett in favour of Franco Zola, great player that he was not a good decision by Birmingham City. It's the worst start by a Blues manager in over 100 years. I tried to warn everyone.
You did.
And God help us all. That's all I'll say. No winning seven so far. I'm making some great money back
Newcastle,
in against Birmingham.
Newcastle knocked them out of the cup, Peter.
They did.
Well done.
Thank you.
To you
very
and yours.
Much. Thank you very much.
Craig Lee, hi to you, Craig. As a Sunderland fan, I am looking forward to absolutely nothing.
Oh.
Josh Andrew, hello to you, Josh. Gabriel Jesus to come off the bench and secure a win for City against Spurs. Then the subsequent competition to see who can write the most cliche headline that links Pep to a saviour slash being saved slash the second coming, etc. While Jesus Navas stares on and realises that it could have been him. Although he's Spanish, so I guess it's Jesus Navas.
That's right.
Pete Eakin, it's my cat's birthday this weekend. I'm pretty buzzing about it.
What? We've got sorry, can we explore that a little bit? You're a cat lover. Do you get excited around your cat's birthday?
He's buzzing about it. I'll tell you
why I mentioned it. Because we've got official dog in the ramble, Winston Speller, who
Marcus
saw earlier today.
Yeah, I had a lovely time with Winston.
On great form.
He's on fantastic. He's never off fantastic.
Do we need an official cat to ramble? If we do, Pete is buzzing about
surely
his cat's
your
birthday.
Cats.
I don't know when my cat's birthdays are, though.
You don't need to know when the birthday
criteria is. For them being official, right?
Yeah, that's they
right,
can be official if you want.
When did they arrive in your house?
About May of 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're about two and a half, something like that.
Nice. Okay, that's fine.
Hercules and Magnus. They'll be official cats of the Ramble if you want. I'll bring them in.
Yeah, that's true.
Why not?
They'll be fine.
Anyway, Pete,
you
have a lovely time with your cat on your birthday. On his birthday. Or hers. John Noon. I'm looking forward to Manchester City's continued hologram goalkeeper experiment against Spurs. to which Mike Green says, if you play a hologram keeper, are you allowed to have another human man on the pitch? Could get Sanya off his fine.
Yeah. There you are.
I thought I'd include that one as well. But that's it from what listeners are looking forward to this weekend.
There we are.
Most of them are looking forward to that. It's so funny because we do this little feature on Facebook. You get two distinct types of fans, which is absolutely conducive with every football fan I've met. They either absolutely love their team or they just absolutely hate their team. Looking forward to my team winning, looking forward to my team losing. That's
fans of big clubs, fans.
Yeah, right, basically. Yeah.
So, Jim, you're looking forward to a 3 points win for Arsenal.
Oh, don't do that to me.
Chuck that one in there. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Everybody, say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
See ya,
Junior.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.